2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first six verses together, please. And the Word of God says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we will commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We'll end our reading there at verse number 6. The well-known philosopher Aristotle from the 4th century AD said that all men by nature desire knowledge. I think for each of us we could understand that, couldn't we? As human beings we have a desire to know. To know more about the things that are around us. To know more about how our world works. To know more about everything. We see it all around us. Mankind has gone out and spent money and time and effort in trying to find out new things. To try and discover something new, something different, something that no one else has ever seen or understood. We can see it in current events. I think today in Britain, I think probably the most frequent word we hear, and you'll forgive another political reference today, is that we're going to set up a new inquiry. And there seems to be inquiry after inquiry after inquiry. People trying to find out the truth in certain situations are trying to discover what they think happened in a particular event. And there seems to be that hunger and thirst for knowledge, that hunger and thirst for understanding, that hunger and thirst for information. And yet, when we think about it, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the things that are eternal, the things that will last forever, the things that the Word of God tells us are the most important things, we seem to take little time, little effort to find out what is really true. We will believe almost anything. We will believe the man in the street, the man who owns the shop. We will believe in the person who delivers our milk, and we will believe anything that they say with regards to spiritual things. We will go to people who reject the truth, even though they are educated and experienced, and we will believe what they say because of who they are. It seems that people do not want to know information. They want to know something new, but what they do not want to know, perhaps what even we do not want to know, is the truth. What is real? And the Word of God reveals to us that there is a truth that we must know. And that truth is that as human beings, as individuals, as people, there is something being kept from us. There is something being kept secret from us. There's something that someone does not want us to know. There is some truth that someone does not want us to know. And yet, for so many of us, we're not interested in finding out what that is. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is defending his ministry against Judaizers, against super apostles who had entered into the church. These people had a desire to turn the Christians of Corinth away from the teaching of Paul, away from the gospel that they had trusted in. And in the section that we have read, Paul is having to defend his ministry. They have said that he is ineffective as he preaches the gospel. They have said that his preaching has no power and no authority. They are saying that there is not enough people being saved as Paul is preaching. Paul is having to defend his character and his work. And in response, he deals with a number of things that we're not going to take time with tonight. But what he does explain to us in verses 4, 5, and 6 is that there's someone keeping a secret from us this evening. He is the God of this world. His name is Satan. And I want us to consider just for a short time this evening that there is a fiend on the loose. And his desire and in the lust of his heart is to keep the truth from you, to keep you from understanding what God has revealed in his word. And this lust grows in his heart because his desire is to see you destroyed. It's to see you enter a lost eternity without hope. It is to see you in a situation where you will be separated from God for all eternity. And Paul reveals to us in these verses that he has chosen to do this by blinding the minds of men and women. And if you're in this meeting this evening and you're not saved, that is exactly what has happened up until this point. The God of this world has been blinding your mind. And Christian, in this meeting this morning or this evening, you have friends and you have loved ones and you have colleagues. And that's what God is doing in their lives. Or that's what the God of this world is doing in their lives. He is blinding their minds. He is preventing them from seeing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is truly a fiend. He is truly wicked. And I want us to see this evening that this blindness that Satan has imposed upon the hearts of men and women comes in several forms. And I just want to consider three this evening. First of all, sin blindness is there. If you look at this Corinthian church, it was a church that was filled with sin. The first book of Corinthians was written specifically to deal with the moral iniquity that was in this church. Their drunkenness, their morally depraved actions. And even though Paul has written to them, they have not changed their ways. Because in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "This is the third time I've written to you," and he's still writing to them about sin and about dealing with wickedness in their lives. You know, the Bible teaches us that the whole world is morally depraved. It tells us that sin is everywhere. It tells us that sin has infected every part of our beings. And that because of that, we cannot meet the perfect standard that God's nature demands. And this means that while we're not as bad as we could be, that we're polluted, body, mind, and soul. And what this means is that our minds are unable to understand the truth of the gospel through natural means. And Satan comes into our lives and into our situations, and we cannot understand the truth. We cannot understand because we're running after sin, and he is giving us more sin. He's given us desire to do the things that we want to do, not what God wants to do. And we can see it all around us, can't we? And perhaps we can even see it in our own lives. For men and women desire so many things, but they don't desire God. They want to gather in as much money as they can. They want to have a fat bank account. They want to have the biggest house. And they're willing almost to do anything for it. People will do the most depraved things for money. People will indulge in shady business deals. They will defraud their insurance policies. They will steal from work. They will be dishonest in any way, shape, or form. And we've seen it in the weeks that have gone into eternity, that this happens even in the high echelons of society, that money is a god. And money is there, and the desire for money blinds people's minds to the truth. And not only is money a desire, but things, materialism. How many of us, we want the latest gadget, don't we? We want the latest mobile phone. We want the widest, flattest TV that we can have. And it doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we're going to give up everything in order to have these things. And let's be honest, they are only things. And they're not wrong in themselves, but the lust that builds up into our hearts and that we cannot do without them. And it seems to be the whole focus of society. I remember a few years ago seeing a program about floods in Belfast. And here we had people and they had virtually nothing. And their houses were swept away, but they had flat screen TVs on their wall. And just couldn't understand because their children could hardly have clothes on. And then there's a desire for power and authority. And we've seen what that does to people, how they grasp after this opportunity to lord it over others. A desire to be respected, to have a position in life where people do what we say, that people think that we're something important. And then, of course, there's the running after pleasure, running after physical gratification in whatever form it takes. We live in a society where men and women will do anything to have exactly what they want. And you know what the truth is? As soon as we get it, as soon as we get that thing, as soon as we get that position, as soon as we get that gratification, we want more. And the blindness comes down over our eyes again, and it's increased and increased and increased. And even though there are things that we have got, and maybe we felt uncomfortable about the way we received it, the next time it just doesn't feel so bad. Sin is a terrible thing. And yet sin isn't sin anymore. It's explained away as something else. And yet the truth of the matter is that the reason it's explained away, the reason it doesn't seem like sin anymore, is because Satan is coming in and he's whispering in our ear and he's telling us it's okay. It's okay to have all these things. It's okay to do all these things. It's okay. And we listen to him. We listen to him. We believe him. And we build our lives around his lie. I wonder, is that you in the service this evening? Is your life based around getting what you want? If it is this evening, then Satan is blinding your mind. The reason he wants you to run after those things, the reason he wants you to desire those things, the reason he wants you to do anything to get those things, is so you cannot see that you need a Savior, that you need Christ in your life. But not only is there a blindness in sin, but there's a religious and there's a spiritual blindness in our land. Look at these Corinthians. Here they are, they're listening to these super apostles. They're rejecting the truth that God and Paul had taught them. In chapter 11, verses 3 to 6, Paul has to remind them, he has to tell them that they are to reject those who preach another gospel other than that was delivered to them, which is Jesus Christ. And we can see that all around us in society. It's okay to be a spiritual person in this weather. Or perhaps you are a spiritual person. Perhaps spirituality means to you that you can watch television programs and they're trying to contact the dead. And you feel that there's something in this for you. I noticed an advertisement on a local shop just about half a mile from where I live. And it was advertising a fair in Portadown Town Hall in which people are invited to spend £30 to come and to talk to angels. That happens in Northern Ireland, a place where the gospel is freely preached. And people are going to talk to angels about their future and paying for the privilege. Spiritual people. People trying to find something to fill that void in their lives. And Satan has come and he said, this is the way to go, these angels will tell you. This fortune teller, she will be able to give you information about the future and help you plan your life and make you more successful. Perhaps if you spend £2.50 a minute on the telephone to someone and they will tell you about your future. They will tell you what's going on in your life. Satan has blinded our minds. Today, there are literally thousands of religions in our world. There is a religious supermarket out there. And there's no one allowed to say that another religion is wrong, that another belief is wrong. We're looked down upon if we say that there's one way. And yet, it all comes from Satan. He has a desire to blind the minds of men and women, to get them concentrating in these places where they cannot find truth. They find them concentrating on religions and activities and beliefs that do not bear any fruit. And there are even religious movements who claim to be Christian and yet they reject everything that is within the Bible. They will say, we will believe this little part of the Bible, but the rest we reject it because it's old, because it's outdated, because it's not true. It was made up years ago. And on our television, we can watch the activities of so-called miracle workers using the name of Jesus. And it's in front of us, and it's there, and there are men and women in our land and in our town, and that's where they're concentrating on. That's a religious aspect of their life. These people who are telling them lies, who are telling them that if they believe more, if they believe better, if they pay more and they pay better, that they'll somehow find fulfillment in life. They'll somehow find spiritual fulfillment. And it's Satan. The devil has inspired all of these things. And he's seeking to draw men and women away from the truth of the gospel and make them believe anything. Make them believe whatever somebody says to them, anything except the truth of the Bible. But not only is there a sin blindness and a religious blindness or spiritual blindness, but there's intellectual blindness. These apostles came to Corinth and they're trying to set themselves up as authoritative in the church, to say that they know more than Paul, that they are more authoritative than Paul, that they teach better than Paul, that they're more effective than Paul. And they've impressed the Corinthian believers. They're believing what they say. And they're saying, well, Paul's maybe not so great. Look at these guys. Look what they can do. Look what they're able to achieve. Look how smart they are. Look how much they know. And we hear that too, don't we? We hear that in our land that education is the answer to all of mankind's problems. You know, if we're smarter, then we'll be better. You know, if you have a degree, you know, you're going to be so much nicer to everybody, aren't you? You're going to be so less wicked. You're going to be so much more understanding. It's not true, sure it's not. And yet, how often? How many of us this evening push our children, push them to do better at school, push them to work harder, push them to get a big job and all the best that they can have? And I don't want to sound as if there's something wrong with that, because there's not, because education's good. I'm in college, and I think it's good. And I want my children to do the best that they can. But you know, if we go out into that world, what they tell us is that if you're an intelligent person, you're an educated person, you can't possibly believe in God. You can't possibly believe that there's a place called heaven. You can't possibly believe that there's a terrible place called hell. You can't possibly believe that a God created the world in which we live. We are told that if we're smart, we'll reject God. And that's where the danger comes. Whenever our education, whenever our understanding, whenever our success blinds our minds to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what Satan will use it for. H.G. Bond says, the devil entangles youth with beauty, the miser with gold, the ambitious with power, and the learned with false doctrine. There is a fiend out there, his name is Satan. And the desire of his heart is to blind your mind, to get you concentrating on your sin, getting you to feel that you cannot live without that sin, and that because of it, that you cannot be saved because you're too bad and because you're too needy. There is a fiend out there, and his name is Satan, and his desire is to get you to worship anything and anyone and anybody other than Jesus Christ, other than the truth of the Word of God. To have your own religion, to have your own set of rules, to have your own philosophy, and then you know that you will not need Jesus because you have your own way to heaven. There is a fiend out there, and his name is Satan. And he's telling you that you're too intelligent for Christianity. You're too intelligent to believe in Jesus. You're too intelligent to have faith. But as he speaks into your heart just now, as he speaks into the heart of your loved ones, as you share the gospel with them, they're Satan's words. It's Satan acting on them. It's Satan trying to influence in them. It's Satan trying to bring blindness down upon their hearts, trying to turn their minds away from the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved them and died for them. The lust of the fiend is very real. And he could be operating in this church this evening. But we praise God that the Word of God has an answer. And that answer isn't found in religion. That answer isn't found in doing better and working harder and paying money. That religion, or that answer isn't found in the things that we think are true. It's found in the love of a friend called Jesus. The remedy to that darkness comes in the form of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The only answer to the darkness, to the blindness that Satan imposes, is the light of the gospel. In verse 6, we read that it is sent at the command of the Father. And here we see this light, like the light that entered into the world at creation, entering into the lives of men and women. Paul knew that that light could enter into their existence and could change their darkness, could change that blindness, could make them see what they hadn't seen before, for he had seen the light in his own Damascus Road experience. For Satan is not all-powerful. Satan may want to blind your mind, but he is not all-powerful, because Christ is the Lord. And we do not have to remain slaves to sin. We do not have to remain blind. We do not have to fear eternity. We do not have to live as we have always lived. For the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is shining out of the Word of God. For the light proceeds from the gospel, the good news And the gospel is this. That God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world. Sent Him all the way from heaven to live among people like you and I, sinners, wicked, and fallen. And that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, came and lived among us. And even though He had done no wrong, that He came and helped us and healed us and resurrected us, and yet He was rejected. And yet He was wrongly convicted and sentenced to die. And then He went to that cross and He died in our place, suffering all the agony that man could put on Him. And of course, He was rejected by His Father as He took the punishment for our sin. The cross is the good news. The cross is the answer to the blindness that Satan has imposed in your heart. The cross is the only answer for the blindness that Satan has imposed upon the hearts of the people that you love, Christian. And the gospel is this, that if we just repent of our sins and trust Him, that the blindness will be destroyed. But the object of the gospel is the glory of Christ. For it's only when we exercise that faith, it is only when we come turning away from our sin, depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we see Jesus for who He really is. We see Him glorified. We see Him alive. We see Him living at this moment, watching over us, caring for us, loving us, blessing us, even though we are putrid and sinful and wicked and deserving only of death. In this meeting this evening, there is a love from a friend offered to you tonight as a remedy for the blindness that Satan has imposed. If you come and you trust Him as your Savior, you will realize that here is Jesus Christ, God the Son, your God, your Creator, your Sustainer, your Living Lord, your coming friend, your righteous Judge. Can I say to you, friends, as we finish, there is a fiend, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to distract you. He wants your eyes pointed anywhere but at Jesus. He wants you to live your life in darkness so that you can spend eternity in hell. That's what he wants. But tonight, let me tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that He is your friend, and that He's loved you so much that He came to die for you, that He came to dispel the darkness, to show you the glory of who He really is. And all you have to do is to come and to say sorry for your sin and to trust Him to pay the penalty for that sin. The gospel is a wondrous story. The gospel is a blessed story. And just as we close, we're going to sing number 490. Because it tells us of the amazing grace of Jesus Christ that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And I pray this evening that if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, that before you leave this place that you'll be able to see, because you've received salvation through the grace of God.